Welcome to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. And wow, what a treat to have Jessica Breeland with me today to talk about her life and all the things, all the wonderful things that are going on. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So for people who don't know, which is not a lot of people, but Jessica Breeland, North Carolina, Bertie High School, star at Bertie. She was an All-American there, parade All-American as a senior. And then she took her talents to Chapel Hill, where I got to watch her play and actually broadcast her games. And definitely one of the fan favorites. Tar Heel Nation loves Jessica. And now, not everybody gets to do this. We know about that, being able to go to the professional leagues where she plays in the WNBA and her current role, helping young people. And she's doing that wearing a different color blue. So I want to open the mic up. Jessica, please tell us where it all started. Tell us about your career as a youngster first. Did you come out of the womb as an athlete?
I think so, pretty much. So I picked up the ball just trying to figure out just something to do. I was raised in Bertie County. It's not much to do there. And just kind of got into it with friends and just developed a love for the game when I was probably about 8 years old. You know, I guess it was, you know, magnetic, you know, it just kind of came together and something I just did for fun and didn't think that it would put me in a position that I am in today and make me who I am, you know, as a person today.
Now, tell us about any particular teachers or mentors while growing up who really made an influence in your life or even your parents or family members.
Yeah, my coach. She began as my middle school coach, and then she went over to the high school. Without her, I wouldn't be the person I am today. You know, she really took me under her wing. And my parents, just the sheer intimate part of me, they were going through a divorce when I was in middle school. So just like any kid, I began to act out. You know, I didn't know how to express the emotions that I was feeling between my parents separating. And I really started to go on a really bad trouble streak. And my coach, Alex Lyons, she saw me as she saw the better person in me. You know, she understood what I was going through and, you know, took me under her wing and really started to put my focus into something, which expanded. Because anytime you put your focus into something, it blows, it amplifies, it expands. And, you know, she just really became a second mom to me. And without her, I definitely wouldn't be here today. You know, she took me to my first college basketball game, you know, and yeah.
Another part of sports, you know, being able to have these very, very intimate relationships that stay with you entire life. They care about you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, there's a lot of talk about how AAU or grassroots sports, in particular basketball, how it's just ruining young people. But people don't often realize the beauty and what a difference it can make when you have a coach that stays with you all year round and helps you everything from, you know, telling you to make sure you get your homework done to giving you a ride to a game or practice.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, AAU allows kids to have something outside of just being home all summer or, you know, whenever and not doing anything. It's like an after school program. You know, we're able to do something and grow into our sports and stuff. I mean, with everything, you know, sometimes it can have a negative side to it. But for the most part, the coaches who are dedicating their lives to young athletes, you know, we have to, just like teachers, right? We need to as well give them more props than what they are given.
Yeah. So life at Carolina, it went by really, really fast. But you are, you know, the epitome of a champion and a winner. And not only the X's and O's and your success, but let's talk about how you were able to overcome that year when you were out, leukemia. Let's talk a little bit about that. What did you learn in that experience? And how does it motivate you today in terms of your actions and the things that you do?
Yeah, so, well, that's just a loaded question. Like you said, it was definitely a tough time for me. You know, I was going into my senior year, you remember. There's a quote that says, if you want to make God laugh, you know, just tell him what you got planned. And that's, you know, exactly what happened for me. You know, I was hit with the news that I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it just really you know, it not only humbled me, but it also just, it changed my life. It changed my, you know, my direction of my life. Do I think that I would be the person that I am today if I wasn't diagnosed with high school diploma? I don't think so. You know, would I have made it to the pro level? Maybe so, but it definitely defined me as a person. It's a scar that will always be with me, and it's a scar that I love because of it. It's who I am. So yeah, when I went through 6 months of chemotherapy, it was the toughest time in my life. You know, I've never felt that down before. It happened to me really quickly. Never felt it, never knew anything was there. And he said to me a line, you know, I would never forget, because he used best in cancer in the same, you know, same sentence. Wow. He said, hey, you know, I'm really sorry that I didn't catch this at first, but I, you know, you may have Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a form of cancer. But if you were to get a cancer, it's the best cancer to get, you know, mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean best cancer to get, you know? So like less than a week, I went from, you know, Jessica Breland, the basketball player, to mm-hmm. Jessica Breland, the cancer patient, mm-hmm. you know? So it was really, really tough for me.
Well, that's an amazing story and a tribute to you and your strength. And I love that mind over matter, you know, thinking that we can control a lot if we have the right attitude.
Yes.
And certainly things will happen to us, but how will we respond to it? And I apologize. I think I misspoke and said leukemia. I meant lymphoma. But certainly I know that drives you. And thinking you as a woman who have your own business, you're an entrepreneur. I love it. I know you have a strong, strong sense of wellness and how we take care of ourselves. So tell us about this amazing studio that you have in the Triangle area. It's located in Durham, but it certainly serves the Triangle region. And I know people come from other parts of the state to visit as well. Tell us about BR3.
Yeah, so it's funny that you said that, because we do. We have clients come from all over, 2-hour drives, and it's just like, wow, it's amazing. Thank you so much. And it's because of the therapies that we provide here. And we have flotation therapy, which is sensory deprivation. It's a room, not really a tank. A lot of people are, you know, used to the pods that close over you, but we have a room with a glass door. You open the door and there it is. It's the water right in front of you. About 12 inches of water, 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt. So you float instantly. And Dr. Deborah, let me tell you, I can't float at all. And, you know, I can't, but in the float tanks, in the float rooms, I'm able to float because of how much salt is in there. It's really, really great for you. We also have cryotherapy, and basically you get into it and it's from your neck on down that your body is in it. And it's sub-zero temperatures. That's it, you know, basically emerge into it. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty cool. It's 3 minutes, and you can do 3 minutes of anything. And once you get out of it, you feel like you can go run. I like to call it like an espresso shot. And so with that being said, we don't just have athletes that come in here. We have just your everyday person mm-hmm. who are in constant pain. Mm-hmm. Or just stressed out or high anxiety. And we also have sauna. We have a sauna, infrared sauna. It heats your body from the inside out, opposed to your traditional sauna that heats the area and you're like, oh, it's too stuffy in here. I got to get out. I can't really get the benefits of it, because, you know, being in the sauna, it's a lot of benefits within it, you know, with the detoxing and helping you with burning calorie, and as well as, you know, your endorphins as well, and stress, and just, it's really, really great. So we have Normatex, which is just your compression sleeves that you may see athletes wear all the time. But again, we have, you know, your everyday person who either stand on their foot all the time, on their legs all the time, as well as we have like chefs that, you know, cooks, they stand up a lot. We also have massage therapists as well. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's just amazing. And for those of you who aren't familiar with BR3, please visit. I visited. It's wonderful. The staff is amazing. Everybody, you know, makes you feel like a king or a queen. And, you know, for this area to have this type of top technology, sports, athletics, wellness technology in our area, it is truly a gift. It is a blessing. So you don't have to be in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago. You can have it right here in the Triangle. So if you're really wanting to find the top technology and how to heal your body and just make you feel better, you want to check out Jessica's studio. And that is br3studio.com, I believe. We want to make sure we mention that. Now, we are in the pandemic, coronavirus. And so I know you've been coping. You have to, as an athlete, as a mentor, as a coach, as a business owner. So I want to ask you, since you do spend time with young people, do you have any recommendations for young people during this time period? And in particular, athletes, how do they keep motivated during a tough time?
I'd like just to tell them that, you know, this, it's how life is, you know, same thing on a court, right? We draw up a game plan and we say that, hey, this is how we're going to play, or this is how we want the outcome of the game to be. But we all know that sometimes that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. And that's what we're experiencing right now with COVID. You know, we all want to go about our daily lives as we normally had it. And, you know, sometimes the strain of the limitations that we have right now can be a lot, but we have to adjust and be adaptable like we are on a court or out on a field. You know, we just got to keep doing the things that we're supposed to do to keep everyone safe, you know, because there are people at high risk that it may not affect you as much as it would affect them. And that's the most important part of all of it.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with that. You have to keep doing the routine, especially when you want to come out, when this is over, that you want to come out better. And that means you just can't stop and give up right now. You want to be better, so keep doing that. And so the other pandemic, which many would argue has been going on a lot longer than coronavirus, is racism, structural racism. And people are really paying a lot more attention to social justice, and especially since we have so many prominent athletes who are speaking up. Coaches are speaking up. Front office people are speaking up. So do you have any particular coaches or folks that you admire in this space? Or if you want to share what you're doing in this space in terms of helping us to have more healing, helping us to liberate brown and black people, what are your thoughts on this pandemic?
Yeah, just awareness, right? I mean, I think that's what we can do as individuals, you know, just make sure we are making sure people are aware of their actions and how that may affect someone else. I think that's one of the biggest things, right? We're taught that as kids. And I think a lot of people don't understand that they have privilege. You know, that's what it is. And it could be because this is what they were raised up on, you know, and it's maybe a everyday thing. And I think just making people more aware of it, or just of their words or their action. You know, a lot of people, maybe it's not what's in their heart really, but, you know, sometimes your action speaks louder than anything, you know, so we just have to make sure we're keeping people more aware and holding everyone, you know, to a certain accountability.
Yes. So. Accountability. There are so many people out there, and I don't know whoever said this, but people who were born on third base and yet they think that they hit a triple.
Right.
That's what's out there.
Yes.
You know, and people will point to sports, you know, the diversity that we have in sports, and people just assume that everything is perfect there. In fact, I think I just read that Vicky Johnson is going to be the first black head coach in the WNBA. And
wow.
People think, you know, with all of the women of color that are playing basketball, that right. We would have, you know, women of color coaching. This is what's missing, that big inequity, that gap.
Especially because a majority of your athletes, especially basketball, right, is going to be African Americans, you know. So I feel like it's always a disconnect when you can't connect to your athletes, you know, like you can't do it because of maybe age wise already. Right. But if you don't allow yourself to understand, to be more aware, like we were just, like I said earlier, you know, if you don't allow yourself to understand this person, then you would never be able to reach that person. You know, and it's sad because they are the mom that's, or the dad that's away from home. So I think that coaches should, you know, try their hardest and be more aware and try to connect with that athlete, you know, because our struggles are different. We weren't, a lot of us weren't, you know, we didn't grow up on the third base, like you said, you know, like sometimes it's hard for us to get off of first base because of how the system is set up. So,
no, that is exactly it. And even if you can't necessarily relate, that means having people on your staff who can and getting out of the way, getting out of the way of that relationship, which brings me to your move to Duke. And so tell us about this amazing WNBA program, which is connecting you such that you land in Durham working with the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, so like you said, the WNBA, amazing program. You know, it's an internship to which they are allowing us to figure out what we want to do after basketball. And I love that. I think that's great. I think it's preparing the athlete for the real world because, let's face it, we're kind of sheltered from it sometimes, you know. But anyway, I have this great opportunity to basically pick whatever I you know, wanted to do. And of course, you know, like I'm a business owner, so I wanted to see the business side behind basketball, the sport that I played all my life. You know, what are the different pieces? Who make this happen for me? Like, who are the people behind the scenes that's actually allowing us to be on the court and be as great as we can be? Because let's face it, you know, we go in the gym and we practice as the player, but there's stuff that's behind the scenes that we don't really, I mean, not to say we're not appreciative of it, but I've been, you know, at my internship for 3 weeks now. And let me tell you, I want to hug and kiss all my coaches because all the things that they do behind the scenes to make us be the best athlete that we can be, it's by far, like, hands down, like you just have to just be able to understand it and appreciate it. But my internship, I decided to go with Duke University women's basketball team. And I made that decision. It was a tough decision because, you know, UNC is my home, always in my heart. I love Carolina. I know everything about Carolina, the ins and outs, and that would have been my comfort zone, right? Good. I felt like I needed to push myself and step outside of my comfort zone. You know, I think we as people, sometimes we gravitate towards stuff that is very comfortable for us. And I wanted to make myself as uncomfortable as possible so I can learn and grow.
That's right. And we know on the other side of discomfort is growth.
Yes.
And for you to be, I think you are the first men's or women's basketball player to go be involved with the other schools, the rival schools program. Yeah. And there are many, many people cheering from you, from Blue Devil Nation to, you know, the Tar Heel Nation, because it's so much more than just playing the game. I'm pretty sure, though, you might keep a pair of Carolina shorts, you know, or tank top or something on from time to time, though.
Now, I kind of joked with my partner saying that. I said that when we play Carolina, I might have to have a UNC shirt on under my Duke shirt.
Oh, no, I get it. You know, the one little story I'll tell is, you know, playing at Virginia and then having to be play against Virginia when I was coaching at Carolina. Mm-hmm. And beating Virginia. So it was very bittersweet to go against your old coach. But, you know, this is as my friends say to me, well, Debbie, where's the paycheck coming from? Yeah. Hey, it's Tar Heels. But in particular, you know, this year is going to be, well, we see it in football, but, you know, men's and women's basketball college is going to be really, really challenging to get these games. And my teammate is Val Ackerman, who is the commissioner of the Big East. And we were talking about how it's going to be tough for teams to even get the necessary numbers to make it to March Madness, if we have a March Madness.
Right.
And so I just wanted to ask you your thought in terms of how we're going to be able to navigate all of this and try to give the athletes a good experience.
It's going to be tough, you know. Really, we have to count on everybody doing their part. You know, with COVID, you know, wearing a mask and washing your hands and staying 6 feet, you know, like, I know now it becomes, and I said it kind of like, oh, we're doing this, we're doing that, you know, but this is what we have to do. And I think the WNBA did a really great job with containing everything in the bubble. It was a beautiful idea, but unfortunately you can't do that with college. I think Duke is doing a really, really great job. And I say that because we get tested every day. Every day, they are doing a really great job. And I understand that some programs, you know, it's not in the budget to be able to test every day and stuff like that. But the things that we can do is wear a mask, right? We can wash our hands and we can stay 6 feet from people as much as possible. So,
well, this is Just been a wonderful chat. So before you leave, I have to ask you this question when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching the Tar Heels play. Yeah. If you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
Ah, that's a great question. I would say for the things that I provided for people, and not just the young athletes, it's just for the community. So just what I do for everyone, you know, how I make people feel and just what I can provide to the community.
You certainly do that well. You know, just a wonderful, wonderful ambassador for Bertie County, for the state of North Carolina, UNC Chapel Hill, WNBA, and the ACC, and definitely, you know, our friends at Duke University. So I want to thank you so much. And thank you again for your studio and how you're making people feel better. And that's what life is about, seeking joy. So thank you, Jessica Breland, for being a part of If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. Thank you.